Which stone to choose? That was the question of ancient architects before there were rebar supports and steel girders. If they wanted to build a structure, they had to choose very carefully between any number of stones. The stone in particular was called the corner stone. This would be the weight-bearing piece of the whole building. It would be responsible for making sure everything was just perfectly aligned. Pick one too fragile and the weight of the walls would cause it to crumble. Pick one too jagged and the alignment would be thrown way off. Pick one that was lopsided and there'd be no structure, no stability. But pick one that could handle the weight, one that was sturdy enough, one that would last, and you had the makings of a building that would not only endure for a little while, but the one that would endure forever. But that's a tough choice. What stone to choose? Because it's a two-sided problem. On the one hand, it's analysis paralysis. You have so many options for stones. Which one to choose? Which one to use? But on the flip side, you also recognize that you're limited. At some point, the stones run out. And if you hadn't found one yet, well, you're going to have to scrap the whole project. And so it took some courage to build in ancient times. And for those with the courage to build, they picked their stone, put their faith in it, and began their work. But over time, many walls have crumbled, weighed down by the weight of history and time. And yet there still are some that stand the test of time as a testament to the quality of the cornerstones. I think in particular of the Great Pyramids of Giza, or the Mayan temples in Mexico, or maybe the Pantheon or the Colosseum in Rome. All these structures, their shells at least, still stand. But I'd be very comfortable calling them dead buildings, because even though the cornerstone's in place and some of the bricks are still there, the people that once dwelt and interacted inside of them, they're long gone. Which shows us that even though these buildings were once living, they're now husks of what they once were. The cornerstone couldn't guarantee the longevity of any of those who placed it. As you can probably guess, this picture of cornerstone extends not only to the building of structures, but even to the building of one's life. And just like the stonemason has a difficult choice to make in where they're going to build their building and what stone to use as the cornerstone, so too human beings have tried any number of solutions, any number of cornerstones to make the foundations of their life, as the place they're going to put their faith, the place they're going to build. Some of these cornerstones look like status. Maybe it's fame and luxury and notoriety that you're chasing. But with a little bit of wisdom, you move past those surface-level cornerstones. And maybe instead you build your life on advice from a parent, a mentor, a friend. Or maybe instead, for you, the cornerstone, the building block, is just good choices, right? Good health, building a good family, having a good name. And while many have built foundations on this cornerstone, it's not always 100% success rate. Some have built, and it crumbled before it even was completed. Some built on any number of these cornerstones, and the structure stood for a little while, but then toppled not long after. And yet still others have built on these cornerstones, and the building has lasted. We all do it. We all build our lives on something, and yet we do so ignoring the inevitable. That one day, no matter how well we build on these cornerstones we might pick for our lives, that at best, the legacy we leave behind is just going to be a husk. Because the life that once enjoyed it, the ones that endured it, the life that was once there, it would be gone. Proving that even the cornerstones that we pick can't ensure the longevity of the ones who build on it. And so maybe the question this morning is, what is the cornerstone that you have chosen for your life? What do you build on daily, hoping that it doesn't fall apart? What is the thing that motivates you and pushes you and leads you to who you want to be? Only you can answer that question. But I wonder this morning if you took an honest look at the cornerstone that you picked, do you think it's going to last? Many have chosen the same cornerstone. There's been a lot of people in history. Theirs haven't lasted. Will yours break the odds? I don't mean to discourage you this morning, but in conversations like these about the legacy and longevity and all that, I've come to appreciate honesty and transparency in the conversation, and acknowledgement that the lives that we try and build for ourselves, they're just teetering towers on the verge of collapse, and how much effort and time and attention we do in our lives to try to make sure everything stays okay, keep it propped up right, but you know how it goes. One brick falls out, you put it back with one hand, and then three more bricks fall out on the other side. No matter how hard we try, we can't get around the fact that we only have two hands, and it's not nearly enough to keep the structure we might build supported. And to make matters worse, as we go about doing that work of trying to make sure everything stays okay, there's this boulder, this stone that keeps getting in the way. We keep on tripping over this thing, this person, that just doesn't allow us to build what we want to build. You see, in the quarry of this life, looking for the rocks to build our structures, this stone is just in the way that many have tripped, many have fallen, many have sent curses to the skies on his behalf. Something has been tried to be done about it. I mean, they tried to move it. That didn't work. They tried to alter it. It didn't work either. Some even tried to destroy it, but no dice. Now, on top of being obnoxiously in the way, this stone, to our perception at least, doesn't seem to be worth anything. Not worth building on. It's too jagged. It's too lopsided. It just looks like it's going to fall apart at any moment. No one in their right mind would ever build anything on a stone like that. Well, except God. It was precisely this stone that was rejected by human beings that was chosen by God. And though seemingly weak and jagged and wrong in so many ways, it turns out that there was nothing wrong with the stone after all. It was actually with the human life builders. They had an expectation of what they wanted their life to be, and so when they looked at the stone that was placed there, especially and specifically to be the cornerstone, they saw it as something worthless, something that was in the way. But it's important for us to recognize, as we go about building these lives, who it was that put this stone here in the first place. The Lord chose this stone, rejected by humans. The Lord chose this stone to be placed in human paths, so they had to wrestle with it and ask themselves, what do we do with it? It was the Lord himself who put the stone here to be his cornerstone. As it turns out, the longevity of a building doesn't only depend on the cornerstone, but also on the one who builds upon it. And though generations of life builders have tried any number of strategies to build their lives, they all prove to be empty and worthless. They lead to shells and husks of what they once were. But not this stone. Though it seems weak and feeble and jagged and wrong in so many ways, this is the stone that gives life. A life-giving stone, guaranteeing the longevity not only of the stone itself, but even the building that is built upon it. But enough about stones and buildings. I said earlier that I appreciate honesty and transparency in conversations like these, so let's cut to the chase. There is a question that exists in the human experience that people have tried to either avoid, alter, or destroy, but we can't get around, and it's this. What are we to do with this man from Nazareth named Jesus? For countless generations, people have been tripping and falling and sending curses to the sky on his behalf. And the conclusion is something has to be done, but what can be done? You can't remove him. How do you ignore the most famous man in human history? You can't alter him after the Word of God itself proclaims his name, and history itself has so many artifacts and manuscripts just supporting the evidence that he really was who he said he was. You can't even destroy him. I mean, they tried that, and you know what happened a few weeks ago, that the grave itself couldn't even hold him. To this day, he remains unmovably, unchangeably, indestructibly there, and yet humanity still sees him as worthless, unworthy to build one's life upon, because he just doesn't fit our mold. He doesn't allow us to build what we want to build. And maybe that right there is the problem. Maybe the problem is that human beings are so determined to be the builders. Maybe instead what we need is to be built. Maybe your life isn't your building. Maybe instead you're just one piece, one brick in something much bigger than yourself. Maybe longevity, legacy, whatever you want to call it, doesn't depend on you propping things up, making a name for yourself. Maybe instead it means being connected to the living stone, not a cornerstone that leads to emptiness and death, a husk of what could have been, but instead a building that's full of royal priests, God's chosen people, one that will never crumble, never fade. Such a building would be worth more than every other building, yes? The Apostle Peter says this about such a cornerstone and, by connection, such a building. He calls this cornerstone and this building living and precious. God himself chose his Son to be the answer to a collapsing world. God himself placed this living stone in our world and called him precious. The one who would shed his holy, precious blood so that through him we might have life. And we do. From what can be said, if the stone is living, so is the building. And if the foundation is precious, so are those who are built upon it. Here's what it boils down to. You can never make your life any better than God has already made your life. You can never build a building, a name for yourself, grander than the name that God has already given you. And sure, it might feel flashy. It might be attractive to say to oneself, yeah, I did this. This was all me. I built this structure. But how lame and foolish it looks when you say it and another stone just falls off, when the wall comes crumbling down. Would you rather be the architect of a collapsing structure, a collapsing life, one that will just fade away? Or would you rather be part of something that endures, that lasts? Because building one's own life has the illusion of meaning and purpose. But it's just that, it's an illusion. But being built into a holy temple, God's spiritual house, with full of living stones side by side with you, supported with Jesus as the cornerstone, that's not an illusion of meaning and fulfillment and purpose. That is the definition of fulfillment and meaning and purpose. And it is in this house that God has placed you, living stones, with your eyes and ears and all your members, your mind and all your abilities, exactly where he wants you to be, to carry out the work that he has specifically designed for you, that he has called you to, that he has chosen you to do. As Peter says, you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that we might declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. You know what God calls a people like that? Precious. You are precious to God. It's a dying and decaying life is not precious. It's something shameful to be ignored and forgotten. But a life that endures, a life built on the living stone, that's something precious. And so which stone would you choose? Maybe that was the question once, but it's no longer the question. Maybe instead, the question is, what stone did God choose? Well, he chose his son to be the cornerstone, the one who would give life to his spiritual house. But he also chose you, each and every one of you, to be with him, living stones, to have a legacy and be a part of something that endures forever. And what an incredible blessing that is. It's not up to us. It's not up to us to make sure that everything doesn't fall apart. No, it's up to the cornerstone himself, because we are not the ones supporting, we are the ones being supported. We're not the ones who are giving life as if it was dependent on our abilities and efforts. No, instead, we have life, life to the full, life guaranteed, because you are connected to your Savior, your living, risen Savior, Jesus. More than you can ever make your life precious, it already is. For this is what the Lord says. See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone. And the one who trusts in him, and that's you, will never be put to shame. Amen.